Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhtar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll move to another important character, as Muslims believe in him to be a prophet. That is Abraham. In Quran chapter 11, beginning from verse 69, we learn about the Abraham of Muhammad, or the Abraham of Islam, which is a different Abraham than that which we know of in the Bible. I know that Muslims in the West always say they believe in Abraham, and Abraham was a great prophet and a great messenger, and they also talk about Abraham, the source of all the three religions, the Abrahamic tree. And that's how through Abraham we have Judaism and we have Christianity and we have Islam. When in reality, when you read the Quran, you find that Abraham was a Muslim. He was a Hanifan. He was not a Jew nor a Christian. This is exactly what Allah stated in Quran chapter 3 and verse 67. It clearly teaches the opposite of what Muslims are trying to convince the people of the West, that we have common belief in one father, that is Abraham, where Judaism and Christianity and Islam came to exist. In Quran chapter 3 and verse 67, we read, Abraham was not a Jew nor a Nasranian, that is a word for Christian, but he was Hanifa, a Muslim, and he was not of the polytheist. So who is Abraham? The father of Jews and Christians and Muslims, or the father of all Muslims? A simple reading to that verse, we will come to the conclusion. Abraham was a Hanifan, a Muslim, not a Jew nor a Christian. So in simple words, the three branches of Abraham, the Judaism and Christianity and Islam, is simply a hoax. It is hogwash talk for the hope that, we have to like the Muslims, after all, they like us. When in reality, the Quran is very clear. Jews and Christians are polytheists. Jews and Christians are infidels. And Allah ordered Muhammad and the Muslim believers, as we discovered in Quran chapter 9, to kill all the Jews and all the Christians. As stated in Quran chapter 9, verse 5, the verse of the sword. Now, let's go together to the story of Abraham in chapter 11, comparing to that which is written in other locations in the pages of the Quran, and also comparing to that which is written in the Bible. In Quran chapter 11, beginning from verse 69, we read, And indeed, our messengers came to Abraham with good news. They said, Peace. He said, Peace. So he did not delay, but brought a haniz calf. The word haniz is a word without any meaning, but somehow Muslim scholars claim it to be roasted. So he brought a roasted calf. Then in verse 70 we continue. So when he saw that their hands do not reach out to it, he disliked them and grew fearful of them. They said, Do not fear. Surely we are sent to the people of Lot, and his woman, he meant wife, was standing by, so she laughed, and we gave her the good news of Isaac, and after Isaac, Jacob. She said, Oh, woe to me, will I bear a son when I am old, and when my husband is old? Surely this is a wonderful thing. They said, Do you wonder at the command of Allah? The mercy of Allah and His blessing are on you, the people of the house. Surely He is praised, glorious. So when Abraham's fear had gone and the good news had reached him, he disputed with us for the people of Lot. Surely Abraham was meek, awa, which is another word without any meaning, often turning. O Abraham, leave this Surely indeed the command of your Lord came, and surely the torment will come to them. It will not be turned back. From reading these verses, that is Quran chapter 11, verses 69 to verse 76, we learned nothing. We also know, when we compare that to what is written in Quran chapter 51 and verse 29, that there is another contradiction of how Muhammad is telling his people about the story of Abraham, which I'll be reading to you later in our broadcast. But let's first look at these verses once again. When you read Quran chapter 11, beginning from verse 69, we learn that Allah sent some messengers to Abraham. Who are these messengers? Oh, don't worry. Muslim scholars will tell us who they are. You see, there were actually three angels, and they are Jibreel and Mikael and Israfil. And that is one opinion. Another opinion, as example, Muslim scholar Al-Dahhak said there were nine people. But Muqatil said there were actually 12 angels. But Muhammad ibn Ka'b al-Kurzi said there were Jibreel and he had seven other angels with him. But another scholar by the name al-Sadi said there were 11 angels. How do you like this cocktail of opinion? You know what is the conclusion? They are a bunch of dummers who do not know anything about the true biblical account, which we can read together in Genesis 18, verses 1 and 2. There were three visitors, and here is what the scripture said. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth tree of Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked at, behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. Notice verse 1 was the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, that is our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, and another two men who were just simply two angels. Now, let's continue back with the verses of the Quran. Did they say peace? And Abraham said peace? Do we read that anywhere in the Genesis account? Of course not. What is the good news? Because they came to Abraham with the good news. Of course, Abraham fixed them a meal. But you could not understand from what Muhammad said in the Quran how Abraham fixed that meal. First of all, in the Quran, we do not know about Abraham bringing water to wash their feet. Asked them to sit under the tree. Then he offered them a meal. After all, they were his guests. And that is what we read in verses 4 and 5 of Genesis 18. Then in verse 6, we read, so Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. In verse 8, so he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Not only did Muhammad not tell us any of the details of the story, but he actually contradicted the biblical account by telling us that they did not eat the meal. According to the Quran in verse 70, so when he saw that their hand did not reach out to it, meaning they did not eat from the food, that is what Muslim scholars said. He, that is Abraham, disliked them and grew fearful of them. He hated them and he was afraid of them. Why? Because they did not eat from the meal. But as we have seen in the Bible, they did eat the meal. So why Muhammad in the Quran denied that our Lord and the two other angels ate from the meal? I don't know. Let's move on with the rest of the story. Continuing in verse 70, they said, do not fear. Surely we are sent to the people of Lot. Wait a minute. He was afraid because he did not like them because he did not eat from the meal. And these visitors, which we do not know how many they were, told him, don't be afraid, we're sent to Lot. What does this have to do with anything? And where is the good news they came to Abraham with? Was the good news that they're going to go to the people of Lot? Continue in verse 71. And his woman, he meant his wife. What was her name? We do not know. Why? Because Allah in the Quran does not give any information about anything. But according to the account of Genesis, we know that her name was Sarah, which is written not only in Genesis 18:6, but in the rest of the biblical account of Abraham. Her first name was Sarai, and then God changed her name to Sarah, as Abram was his original name, which God changed to Abraham. Such information does not exist in the Quran.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
And here, what happened according to the Quran. His wife, or his woman, was standing by, so she left. From the reading of the Quran, we do not know why his woman left, but Muslim scholars told us why. First, they said she left because they did not eat from the food which Abraham made for them. Excuse me, is this a good reason for a wife to laugh? After working hard and fixing a meal for a guest, any woman would be disappointed and upset, not laughing. But don't worry, Muslim scholars give us another opinion. That she left because the people of Lot, their time of torment came to them and they were unaware of it. Excuse me, is this a laughable matter? I think I'll be twice as upset. Why? Because if she knows that these messengers are going to go to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, the people of Lot, she should be very sorrowful and sad. Crying, not laughing. Why would any person laugh if he or she knows that the judgment of God is coming on somebody else? But wait a minute. There's another opinion given by Muslim scholars. Because it was said she laughed because Abraham was afraid of these three people, while Abraham had lots of servants, lots of people. Excuse me, once again, why would a woman be laughing at her husband when he have some fear of some guests? That is a great insult to her husband. But Ibn Abbas gave us another opinion when he said she laughed because she was wondering. She was surprised that she would have a son when she was of old age and her husband was of old age. But wait a minute. Let's go back to the Quran to see if that is the case. Why? Listen to the order of the verse. And his woman, that is his wife, was standing by, so she laughed. So we gave her the good news of Isaac, and after Isaac, Jacob, which means the wife of Abraham laughed before she heard that she will have a child. Now we know that the Quran does not make any sense, because will people laugh before they hear the joke? Or first you hear the joke, and because you like the joke, you laugh? The Quran is very clear. She laughed, and after she laughed, the messengers told her that she will have a son. And guess what's his name? His name is Isaac. And after Isaac, Jacob. Any person with whatever education you can get, when you read that verse, you will discover that the wife of Abraham will have two sons. The first one by the name Isaac, and then the second one by the name Jacob, because that's exactly what the Quran said. The good news of Isaac, and after Isaac, Jacob. The Quran did not say that Jacob would be the grandson, but he will be another child will come out of the wife of Abraham after Isaac, which obviously wrong. Why? Because Jacob was the son of Isaac, not his brother. But as I told you earlier, we have a bigger problem. And that is what is written in Quran chapter 51 and verse 29. For there, the reaction of the woman of Abraham is the opposite of the reaction we read here in Quran chapter 11 and verse 71. Listen to what Allah said in Quran chapter 51 and verse 29. So his woman, he meant his wife, came in shouting, and she struck her face, and she said, old barren. Wow. The question we must ask here, what did the wife of Abraham exactly do? Did she laugh or did she shout? Did she laugh or did she strike her own face? My dear friends, this is a great contradiction in the Quran. Let's go back again to Quran chapter 11 to move on a little bit more with the story. She said, oh, woe is to me. Will I bear a son when I am old and when my husband is old? Surely this is a wonderful thing. They said, these are the guests, which we do not know how many they were. Do you wonder at the command of Allah? The mercy of Allah and his blessing are on you, the people of the house. Surely he is praised glorious. So when Abraham's fear had gone and the good news had reached him, what good news? Oh, his wife will have two sons, Isaac and Jacob. He disputed with us for the people of Lot. What was the dispute is about? Did really Abraham talk to all these 10, 9, 11, whatever number you want to come up with about the people of Lot? What was the problem of the people of Lot? From reading the Quran, well, good luck to find out what's the problem. We have to go back to Genesis account. For in Genesis chapter 18, beginning from verse 17, we read, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Obviously, from the scripture, we know that the Lord told Abraham that he will destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But we do not have dispute between Abraham and the Lord, but we have a dialogue, which began in verse 23. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? And obviously we know that the number continue to go smaller and smaller, 5 people at the time, until we get to verse 32, where we read, then he, that is Abraham, said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, that is the Lord Jesus, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. Then finally in verse 33 we read, so the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. This is what took place in Genesis 18. But according to the Quran, Muslims have no clue what the dispute is that Allah is talking about. In verse 75, Allah said, surely Abraham was meek, awa, often turning. I have no idea what the word awa means. Often turning means he sins and he repents. The Quran story ended in verse 76. O Abraham, leave this. Surely indeed the command of your Lord came, and surely the torment will come to them. It will not be turned back. Obviously, from reading the story of the Quran, we do not know too much about Abraham. And as we investigate Muslim scholars' interpretation, we cannot help but to laugh because they did not know too much about Abraham themselves. But when we compared the true account of the Bible to that which is written in the Quran, we found out that the Quran cannot be the true word of God. The story of the Torah exposed to us five errors. First of all, the men ate from the food and Abraham was not afraid of them. They gave him the news about his son who will come from his flesh with his wife Sarah before they talked to him about Lot. But the Quran confused them together, made Lot come before the good news of the birth of the son. Obviously, Abraham's wife in the Bible did not hit her face, but she laughed. Not only she laughed, she lied about that she laughed because she was afraid, as the scripture teaches us. We learn from the Bible that Sarah was a respectful woman, and because she loved her master, her husband, Abraham, she would not have ever laughed at him, as Muslim scholars claim. But she was living in obedience to him. According to the Quran, we can guess that Sarah was there with the guest, and that does not fit with the Middle East culture. But she was inside her tent, and the messengers did not talk to her directly, as Muhammad stated in the Quran. But in Genesis account, the Lord spoke to Abraham alone, but she was hearing from inside the tent. The Quran obviously did not tell us how many were the guests of Abraham. That's why the scholars of Islam come up with all these different numbers, between 3 or 12, when in reality, as I said earlier, there were only 3, 2 angels and the Lord Jesus himself. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.